But, you know, I think it's time to finish the job here. I think it's time for us to...
This motherfucker was a plant, Joe Biden. He was put into power illegally. He was then utilized to be the figurehead that was perceived to be incompetent to destroy our country. If you look at what he's done and you look at the damage that he's created, this man was put in power to do that damage. And then for all of us who say, oh, look, he's so dumb, he doesn't know what he's doing. There's nothing dumb about what these people are doing. The dumb motherfucker is Joe Biden. Had they had a competent leader in there, let's say they had a Barack Obama, they would look at that guy and they would say, dude, that guy's a fucking traitor. So they needed someone who looked incompetent to do what they've done. And that's another reason why they're pushing Kamala now, because the job isn't done, which coincidentally is their slogan. Let's finish the job.
Our economic plan is working. We now have to finish the job, but there's more to do.
Biden was stole the election 2020.
We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
We went from an under 50% of the population saying they were concerned about cheating in 2020 to now our biggest number, 66% of people are now at least somewhat concerned that cheating will affect the outcome of the 2024 election.
This dude got his freaking work permit and social security card, came here illegally, got documented, got on the buses from Texas to Chicago, and now, within 4 months, this guy's got his social security card. He's got his worker's identification card for working. He's got a driver's license. He's got insurance. He just bought a car, all in 4 months. And it has an efficiency apartment that he pays $500 a month for.
Pennsylvania was registering non-citizens for 20 years, and they admit it. This is not subject to debate.
And so then, sticking with the topic of non-citizen voting, isn't it true that this November, non-citizens that reside in D.C. for simply 30 days can vote in D.C. municipal elections?
That's correct.
In D.C. also mails every registered voter a ballot, correct?
Correct.
And so you're telling me that in Washington, D.C., if there is even a small clerical mistake, non-citizens could be mailed a ballot with federal races on them?
That's correct.
We found several other things using open source data. There is a gentleman named Eric Lutzen, and he has matched up a list. He started looking at voters above the age of 80 that were registered for voting and did vote on in Michigan. And 17,327 Michigan voters also had a corresponding obituary.
They were on the voter rolls with the birth date of 1850. There were 232 people registered to vote with an address to our local prisons. There were 4,144 people that were 90 years old and older. There were 125 people registered to vote or on the voter rolls that were registered to, or their address comes back to, nonprofit NGOs and different businesses. There were 300 people, approximately 300 people with no first name, just the last name. There were about 110 people that were possible double voters, basically the same name, date of birth, address, but two different voter ID numbers. People were registered to vote at various shelters and all that. And we even found one person on the voter rolls by the name of Jesus Christ.
And now they're finishing up organizing that, and they will move into high gear with all the things they believe will destabilize things, create enough fear to keep them in power. So they're going to strengthen the powers of the executive if they get their puppet in, but they are also preparing to strip powers and strip powers from the Supreme Court by packing the court and adding a whole bunch of new members that they control. So they've got all these things pre-programmed, ready.
Yeah, well, I think we've got all the Democrats who are ready for meaningful ethics reform to bind the Supreme Court. And we're working on changes to the Supreme Court. It can be term limits. It could be adding the number of justices. Things we can do without having to have a constitutional amendment. Here is a man who's been a transformative president. He's got an enormous amount done. And yet he has stepped away and he has passed the torch.
And when they're ready, please pray for InfoWars. Please pray for the crew. And I'm so thankful to the crew. They're doing such a great job. I'm so thankful to Owen and to Chase and to all the rest of the crew and Rob Duver here with me. right now. We were one family together, black, white, old, young, you name it, in the fight for liberty against the New World Order. Thank you so much for your past support, and I humbly ask for your support now. If you go to InfoWarsStore.com, where the big Save InfoWars sale is going with X2 and X3 and DNA Force Plus, Nitric Boost, and all these other incredible game-changing products. Also, the great line, a dozen products under InfoWars MD, private labeled from a top manufacturer in the country. They said, hey, we'll let you have our whole line, and then we'll ship it for you. We'll do it all. It's all drop ship. All our products are selling out. We're out of money completely. But because of InfoWars MD, they have basically unlimited for us. So that now when you buy InfoWars MD, you're getting great, excellent, amazing products that are across the board for your supplement needs. And they then keep us on the air. InfoWars MD.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. Ladies and gentlemen, I am Chase Geiser, your host for the next 2 hours and 54 minutes. We will be taking your calls at least in the final hour today, maybe even earlier. But I've got a lot of news to cover still. As I cover these articles on the desk, during the breaks, I take the ones that I covered off and I throw them on the floor over here. And so you can see on the desk, there's still countless articles to go over. Countless things to talk about. I want to talk a little bit about Project 2025. Now, admittedly, I have not read the 900-page think piece. I have not even gone so far as to have ChatGPT or some other AI analyze it and give me the summation of it. I probably agree with a lot of what's in it. If it's right-wing extremism, I probably agree with most of it, to be honest with you. By what the left has redefined as right-wing extremism, which is just traditional conservative values and common sense America first policies, I'm absolutely a right-wing extremist. If believing in traditional American values and America first policies is terrorism, then I am a domestic terrorist. Because I believe in those things, no matter what name you call me, no matter what you try to brand me, no matter what kind of looks you give me when I walk into the gas station in a MAGA hat, I'm sorry, I'm just a terrorist. I'm just an extremist. You want a duel? Because obviously debate doesn't work anymore with these people. They're so brainwashed. And we're going to get into this too. But great piece that was posted on Infowars.com by Jonathan Newman about what Project 2025 says about the Fed. We've heard the left come out incessantly bashing Project 2025. They tried bashing Trump, and every time they do that, it's backfired on them so much that so they're pivoting. And remember, all the leftist accounts that were paid for by the Biden campaign specifically, the Harry Sissons and others, who literally just regurgitate Biden campaign talking points when the campaign changed form to the Kamala campaign. All those same influencers just went over and shifted. I mean, the campaign headquarters changed the sign up outside of the front in Delaware. And all of a sudden, instead of being the Biden campaign headquarters, it was the Kamala campaign headquarters. And then all the influencers followed suit immediately. It just converted, kind of like how Rome didn't really fall. It just became the Roman Catholic Church. Still conquered the world, still present and all over the world, still has its own country, basically, at the Vatican. More land and money than I think any other organization except for maybe the crown in England. I never crunched the numbers. But what one of the talking points was after this debate that happened on June 27th where Joe Biden proved to the world that he lost his mind, and I'm not being hyperbolic here, that's exactly what happened. The world could no longer exist in denial that Joe Biden was in severe cognitive decline, and they still won't explicitly admit it, but all of their actions are a confession to this crime, a confession to this sin that was the cover-up of his cognitive decline. I mean, he backed out of the race because he lost his mind, and he can't admit it because if he admits it, then he can't be the president for the next 6 months. He's got to pardon Hunter first, then he can admit that he's lost his mind. And what Harry Sisson and others said in clips that we showed is, Donald Trump just lied in the debate. All he did was lie. Jill Biden famously, he lied in that video. Somebody redid that video. If you guys could find it, I understand if you're strapped. But there's a video that somebody made reworking that clip of Jill Biden the next day where she's like, you did a good job, Joe. And what did Donald Trump do? He lied. And they put it to the immigrant song by Led Zeppelin. And it's the funniest thing I've ever seen. I hope you guys can pull it up. Let me know in my ears if you do. But what they did was they said Joe Biden actually had policy positions. He actually took a stance on different policies. We didn't hear anything about policy from Donald Trump because all Donald Trump needed to do was let Joe Biden talk. He was murdering himself with every sentence he couldn't utter. So they've been coming after Project 2025 because they realize when they convict Donald Trump, it backfires. When they try to assassinate Donald Trump, it backfires. When they try to cancel Donald Trump, it backfires. And then you have the Elon Musks coming out and declaring war against the woke mind virus and buying social media networks. God, I hope he buys InfoWars. I hope Elon Musk buys InfoWars when we're forced to sell. Because if he could save this place, that is key to the victory against the woke mind virus, which we are also at war with. This is an info war. There is a war on for your mind. There are graphics and printouts in this office from decades ago, just kind of laying around. Parts of this place are akin to a museum that say there is a war on for your mind. It used to be info wars because there is a war on for your mind is what you used to say on the old graphics back when we had GIFs and stuff on the Infowars.com website. You can go back to Wayback Machine online. That's a website, you know, archive.org, Wayback Machine. You can look at how our website looked in 2004. Awesome stuff. My point is, they are coming after this Project 2025 thing, and it's a straw man. They set up this fake argument trying to suggest that it's akin to Trump, that it's backed by Trump, that Trump wrote it, that he's behind it, and they're just attacking this Project 2025 thing, which is really just a distraction, and it's not going to work because nobody cares about a 900-page think piece. Nobody's going around like, hey, I'm voting for Kamala Harris because I'm really concerned about Project 2025. All these leftists that claim they hate Project 2025 so much probably couldn't even name one policy within it. So let's see what Kamala has to say about Project 2025 in clip 69. And then we'll hear from the actual author of Project 2025 in clip 70. But let's run clip 69 first, please.
So Project 2025... is a plan to return America to a dark past. Donald Trump and his extreme allies want to take our nation back to failed trickle-down economic policies.
Yeah, and I love how Joe Biden, whenever he criticizes trickle-down economics, this is like actually one of my favorite moments of retardation. He says, when I was a boy growing up in Scranton, trickle-down economics wasn't good enough for us. He said it a bunch of times in a bunch of different ways. I'm paraphrasing, but he criticizes trickle-down economics as like a Reagan-era economic policy that doesn't really work. It only serves the elite. And he says that it wasn't good enough for his working class, lower middle class, just American-blooded family when he was growing up back in the 1830s. But at the same time, as he's saying this, I'm looking at the president of the United States. It's like, whoa, 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 you're against trickle-down economics. They didn't work for you. But you're telling me that you started with nothing and now you hold the most powerful office in the world? Sounds like it worked for you, dude. Let's see what the actual author of Project 2025 had to say about it. Clip 70.
Who are you? What do you do?
I am director of Project 2025.
It's you. I thought it was Trump.
You know, it's not Trump. No, this has nothing to do with Trump. This, was stood up years ago, actually, in 2022. But, I'll tell you probably the scariest part people are going to learn about Project 2025 is that many of us were former Democrats.
Uh-oh.
I know. This is breaking all kind of news.
So, there you have it, folks. Debunked. Next. But this is all part of this woke mind virus that we're at war against, this info war, which Elon Musk invoked InfoWars the other day on X. He just posted the words InfoWars. No other details, no other context other than who he was replying to. But this is mind control at scale. See, MKUltra isn't just about finding vulnerable individuals, conducting experiments on them, brainwashing them so that they can assassinate when they've been triggered and not even remember that they've committed an assassination. This is what is the documented purpose, one of the documented programs admitted by the government at the highest levels, declassified to the extent that there are any documents left, surrounding MKUltra, one of the objectives was to figure out how to brainwash people to kill, trigger them to perform that murder or assassination, and then have them have no recollection of what happened whatsoever. And we have MKUltra, which is huge during the Cold War, huge during the expansion of the intelligence community, especially starting with the Red Scare, as we were paranoid about what Russia may be doing in the same vein. And this MKUltra program expands from 50s and the 60s and gets busted in the 70s. They delete all the documents, like the retreating Nazis. And nobody goes to prison. Nobody's ever held accountable. But the weird thing about it is, all of a sudden, in the second half of the 20th century, you have these bizarre mass shootings. And you have these unprecedented serial killers. I mean, I know there have always been serial killers. It's something that happens every once in a while. The Ripper, Jack the Ripper, whatever his name was, the famous unsolved one from hundreds of years ago. There's like a handful of examples of these serial killers throughout history. But in the 20th century, it's like mass shooting after mass shooting, celebrity shooting after celebrity shooting, presidential assassination attempt after presidential assassination attempt, bombing after bombing from Oklahoma City, Timothy McVeigh, or Ted Kaczynski. All MKUltra. I even suspect that the man who assassinated John Lennon was MKUltra. I think Jim Morrison might have been an MKUltra attempt, if you look at his father and his advocacy for LSD. Timothy Leary, all these. And yes, Thomas Matthew Crooks was probably an MKUltra shooter sent to kill President Trump and not remember a thing about it. There's weird cell phone data, which we're going to get into, that someone had visited him at his work and at home, and then also the FBI in D.C. several times, apparently. We'll show some clips about that. And then the CIA came out, which is very rare, if not ever. They came out, I believe, today and issued a statement in response to the conspiracy theories that Thomas Matthew Crooks was an MKUltra plant sent out and triggered to assassinate President Donald Trump. I mean, the fact that they are denying it is bizarre and drawing attention to it, and actually made me think even more assuredly that, oh my God, they were behind it. Why would you deny that? They said, these statements are frankly damaging. You know what's damaging is the CIA, when they put people like Alex Jones and myself and 200 or 300 others on Ukrainian hit lists or enemies of the states list, when they start coups all over the world and wars all over the world, killing innocent people, trafficking children, trafficking drugs, trafficking weapons to the cartels and terrorist organizations all over the world. You want to talk about dangerous to CIA. Somebody needs to MKUltra the CIA. But you have this clip here. I'm going to show you 24. Mind control at scale. The point I was trying to make initially before I went off on that tangent was they don't just target individuals, conduct experiments, and then manipulate the individuals to perform specific actions. They also perform MKUltra techniques on the population at scale through the mainstream media, through the repeated lies over, 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 until you believe a lie no matter how BS the lie is. And then you behave according to these false beliefs in irrational ways, which are malleable and controllable by a deep state, by a new world order. This is clip number 24.
And one of the things that we're dealing with in science is mind, well, I don't know how to say it exactly, brainwashing at scale.
Yep.
Where you cause people to see something, they know it's not true, but they know that somehow to say, well, that's not true, and I wonder what is true, is to cross a chasm into opening all sorts of questions that they're not prepared to deal with. Now, right now, you and I are living through the crumbling of a crazy narrative that got pushed out. Joe Biden is absolutely fine. Okay. He's completely in command of the situation.
Yeah.
And it makes no sense. He's now abandoning his reelection campaign to focus on the presidency, which he does not appear to be able to carry out.
Yeah.
I want to turn this and ask you, how are we living through something this mind-blowingly stupid? This is basically a confession that everybody who was told that you're crazy, you're a Trumper, you don't understand reality. The president is absolutely fine.
Yeah.
All of us who've been told we were nuts have suddenly been told you're not nuts.
Yeah.
But the machine is going to continue to go on and lie to us. And furthermore, there was no primary.
The majority of Americans see it. They feel it. And when I say the majority, I think it's 70%. Very, very clearly see this and feel it, and they're not okay with it. And then you have 20% that will vote blue no matter who, because they are so deeply programmed to. And, you know, we don't have to get into the power of modern day programming and mind control, but that exists.
But it exists in me. So, for example,
yeah,
I can't get over the idea that I'm still a crazy person, because for 4 years I've been saying that Biden is not fit cognitively to be in the Oval Office.
But that's the risk of this technique, is that you disenfranchise the individual's capacity to trust themselves.
All of us.
Yeah.
And so what I'm looking
at. That's what's so at play
how,
right now.
But how is it that I'm still under this spell? I mean, I've clearly broken from this thing. I've been talking about this for 4 years. There is no vindication. There is no absolution. There's no apology. The system is simply going to try to go and anoint Kamala Harris as if there was a democratic process in place, which I want to get into this. This yeah. is mind control at scale.
It's mind control. Well, it's making mistakes, showing your hand at making the mistake, and then offering no redemption to the people
zero
that have known the truth all along. And that's, you know, we had talked about this concept of redemption, that if we were going to really restore the heart of this country, and if we were really going to set up the conditions for a prolific, indefinite human future.
Yeah.
Redemption is a key piece of that.
Redemption, but also exoneration, because mm-hmm. a lot of people, I don't require redemption in this case. Mm-hmm. I require...
I think you do, though, but go on.
Well, because I don't think I did anything wrong. In other words...
But you were made... Every...
But this is what I'm trying to say. A person,
every effort was to make you feel wrong.
A person wrongly accused yeah. mm-hmm. needs to be exonerated.
Yes. And my, but who is going to offer you that exoneration?
Well, so this is my question, mm-hmm. which is... What do I make of institutions? Think about the level of collaboration mm-hmm. needed for no psychiatrists, no geriatric medicine specialists, Parkinson's specialists, no neurologists, nobody in the inner circle. I mean, more or less, it's like Murder on the Orient Express, where all of the experts were colluding. Mm-hmm. to pretend that the bad people were the people speaking the truth who worried about not having a functioning president while we're in a half proxy war with Russia with a thermonuclear.
He's absolutely right on so many different levels. First of all, he's brilliant. Both Brett and Eric Weinstein are brilliant. I don't care what you think or say about them. They're brilliant people. Both their performances on the Joe Rogan podcast have been amazing. Both their backgrounds, their intellectual accomplishments are just astounding. Not always right, but earnest, smart, high IQ, good values, principled people. But Obama basically said the exact same thing in this clip. This is clip number 68. This is what they do.
You just have to flood a country's public square with enough raw sewage. You just have to raise enough questions, spread enough dirt, plant enough conspiracy theorizing that citizens no longer know what to believe. Once they lose trust in their leaders, in mainstream media, in political institutions, in each other, in the possibility of truth, the game's won.
The game is won. And sometimes they slip up and admit that there's been a conspiracy, admit that they lied, like Mayor Pete does in this clip number 53 we're going to play in a second. But it doesn't even matter when they slip up. It doesn't matter when Kamala Harris accidentally mentions that the phone call with Joe Biden was a recording and then catches herself and corrects it. It doesn't matter when Barack Obama accidentally calls Michelle Michael. It doesn't matter when Mayor Pete admits that they knew that he was that Biden was in cognitive decline and lied about it. It doesn't matter when the reports come out and say the masks never did anything, that 6 feet to slow the spread never did anything, that the vaccines don't work, that they're actually causing myocarditis and terrible issues. I mean, I have a whole stack here, for example. We'll just go through this quickly at the overhead cam. COVID shots break people's eyes. Study show. Pacemaker patients experience heartbeat irregularities post-COVID and flu shot study. Microplastics in the brain have increased 50% in the last 8 years. Pentagon admits it spread disinformation about the COVID vaccine report. Fluoride exposure during pregnancy linked to neurobehavioral issues in children and 620% higher risk of myocarditis after mRNA COVID vaccine. Doesn't matter that they admit it because you've already been brainwashed. It's already too late. This is clip 53.
Meanwhile, we have a new nominee.
And was she aware of how he was doing?
We're all aware of how he's doing. Our country has watched our president lead. And yes, we've also seen the fact that he's 10 years older than he was 10 years ago.
And we've also observed that he's lost his damn mind. But hey, as long as it's not Trump, wouldn't you rather have a nice old man surrounded by competent people than a convicted felon, even though we have trumped up charges and a corrupt DOJ that came after that person? But it doesn't matter when they admit it. It doesn't matter when it's leaked, when the truth comes out, when the correction is made, when the fact check gets fact checked, when the debunking is debunked, because the brainwashing installation is already complete. The antivirus software has already been installed in the minds of the people, and you cannot throw any amount of truth at them to convince them otherwise because they are NPCs, non-player characters. And for those of you in the audience who don't play video games, a non-player character is a character in the video game that is the video game. So whether you go to the blacksmith in the video game, whether it's midnight or whether it's in the morning, he's always behind the table. He's always ready to buy or sell armor or weapons to you. He doesn't have a family. He doesn't really have a story other than what's pre-scripted. And he is just operating as a non-player character. You are the only entity in a video game that has free will. Everything else is designed to interact with you in a pre-programmed way, just like the majority of our population in the United States and the majority of the population in the world, which has been brainwashed and programmed to be non-player characters. They want you to sacrifice the first gift given to you by God, which is your own free will. And then that will be the total satanic takeover of all of humankind while the elites bask in their affection for the ultimate evil. Total power, total self-worship, and immortality manufactured by their satanic technology. This is clip number 54. SWAT saying the assassination attempt on Trump was an inside job.
We were supposed to get a face-to-face briefing with the Secret Service snipers whenever they arrived, and that never happened. So I think that that was probably a pivotal point where I started thinking things were wrong because that never happened, and we had no communication with the Secret Service.
You had no communication with the Secret Service at all on that Saturday?
Not until after the shooting.
And by then?
It was too late.
Boom! Boom! But it doesn't matter, does it? Because the disinformation has already been installed. FBI Director Christopher Wray came out and said that it might not have been a bullet that hit Trump's ear. Then the next day they corrected it and say it was definitely a bullet, but it's too late. It's already gone viral among the left that there wasn't really an assassination attempt, that maybe no shots were even fired. Joy Reid's celebrating out there. It was shrapnel. It wasn't a shot. Stick with us, folks. More great news and clips to cover on the other side of this short break. Visit InfoWarsStore.com and send the New World Order straight to hell.
So number one, you've got central banks now starting to buy it by the tons, right? It's a lot. You've now got Chinese citizens being encouraged to not just buy gold, but buy silver. Because China and Russia want to destroy the Western banks. And the Western banks, JP Morgan Chase and HSBC, have the largest number of naked short positions on the planet. On the planet. I think between the two of them, they have over 900 million ounces of silver in short position. Well, only 1.2 billion ounces of silver is mined every year globally. So they've got almost the entire annual production in a short position. That means when the price goes up, these banks lose money hand over fist in multiples. China knows this. which is why they're encouraging all of their citizens now to buy not just gold, but buy silver, because that creates more demand. Every time silver goes up in price, the Western banks lose money in multiples because they're on the wrong side of the transaction. They want to do it to destroy the West, and they want to do it to make a financial gain. Both of those, in their minds, are legitimate enough reasons to do something, right? But let's look at silver, because that's what we're allocated into right now, because the ratio between gold and silver points towards silver. It's outperforming. Where were we just 4 years ago? 1191. But now since then, we've gone from 1191 to almost 30 in the last 4 years. See, the trend is accelerating because the geopolitical dynamics are causing its growth. It's not just a flight for safety. It's not just a way to preserve and protect your freedoms and get out of these unified ledgers and these social credit scoring systems and this digital money. You're getting something tangible that actually doesn't just grow. It's growing tremendously. It's up like 40% in 4 months. That's amazing. But you also have something that can maintain your freedoms, Alex. That's the tangible intangible, which is as our freedoms
are eroded. Oh, no, man, I can't believe we have millions of viewers right now and maybe 500 people call you. It's a sponsor. I only promote what I think is great. So I sell water filtration systems that have the highest rating for like half the price on average. And I sell high-quality supplements. I just sell stuff that I think is great. Everybody should call you and get into silver and gold right now. There's nothing performing as good as it. I mean, it's like it's on record. It's the best investment, but the stockbrokers won't tell you that. The globalist argument is, oh, the world's in turmoil and everything's collapsing. We got to be strong, and America's got to threaten Russia and China to keep us as the dollar. But they're the ones that undermine the currency. They're the ones that brought us into this situation. And so that's why this is so incredibly dangerous. This is just trying to kill Trump just, 10, 11 days ago. They are going for broke. I wish we weren't in this position, but we are. But by admitting where we are, we have a real chance of waking up, like Congress saying, we know you tried to kill Trump. Buying silver is the smartest bet there is. You'd have bought silver a year ago, up 20, 30%. That's what you want. And silver is the big mover in this economy. So go now. KEPM.com/gold or 720-605-3900. They'll explain it all to you. Most of the gold and silver companies are charging you huge 30, 40, 50% premiums. And most of the conservative talk show hosts are doing it too. And I talk to them in person. I say, you need Kirk Elliott.
What does Goldman Sachs think gold is going to do before the end of the year? $2,700 an ounce.
And I'm sitting here saying, it funds us, it keeps us on air, and it's the best investment, hands down, in an imperfect world. I mean,
this is, to me, is one of the most important things to protect your financial future ever.
Go now to KEPM.com/gold.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Alex Jones Show, ladies and gentlemen. I am Chase Geyser, your host, for the remaining 27 minutes of this show and then 2 hours of the Sunday Night Live weekly broadcast, which I regularly host at Infowars.com/show or at band.video. It can also be viewed on Rumble, several other platforms, especially on X, at Real Alex Jones, as well as at Infowars. Where should I even begin this segment? Let's talk about Google censoring search results related to the Trump assassination. So we saw today all over social media, it was blowing up that, Google's AI platform, Gemini, is not responding to any questions about either the JFK assassination, apparently, or the assassination attempt of Donald Trump. And it comes up with some boilerplate kind of disclaimer in response. You ask it, what happened with the assassination attempt on July 13th, 2024? It says, oh, we're still working out the kinks here at Gemini, and we can't really respond to this question. Please make sure you fact check everything that Gemini says, because sometimes we can make mistakes. But it's the search results that are being
censored as well. It's the Gemini AI responses that are being censored. They're trying to control and constrict the narrative to ensure that nobody has a conversation about what happened, to ensure that it's forgotten as quickly as possible, because they know how powerful that moment was for the Trump campaign, for populism, for America First, how much of a threat it was to globalism and the deep state and the New World Order takeover, that they want it totally forgotten. And by God, they might be successful. I mean, there's only like one place on the internet other than Infowars.com where you have a critical mass large enough to have a meaningful impact on the perceptions of reality of the people of the earth. And that place is X.com. And say what you will about Elon Musk, good guy, bad guy, hero, villain. I think he's probably a hero. I think he's probably a once in a couple hundred years level brilliant, like Einstein level, Rockefeller level, Benjamin Franklin level, kind of just like a polymath. But he's a human being just like everybody else. He's not a god among men. He's not an angel among men. So I'm sure that one day he'll disappoint us somehow in a small way or a big way, or maybe in the past he's done some things that are really disappointing. Maybe it's Neuralink. Maybe Neuralink gets hijacked by the deep state and everybody's suddenly controlled through the microscopic threads installed in their brain by a centralized computer system, and it becomes the end of the world in a sci-fi novel. Maybe that's what's going to happen. Maybe he has good intentions, but everybody's going to get it installed in their brain, and suddenly having access to the internet isn't something that you use, but something that uses you. Maybe that is the end of it. But I think he's a hero, and his platform has saved freedom of speech. And I don't know if Trump would have won this election without Elon Musk purchasing X, because of things like this story of Google censoring search results. And they've been doing this for a long time. Years. I mean, years ago, I remember looking up American inventors, and I think they've since corrected this. But if you searched American inventors, they would show you images of only black inventors to compensate for some sort of systemic racism or injustices of the past. Like, hey, by the way, black people are smart, too. It's not just a bunch of white guys. Kind of like what we saw at the Olympics, where they just insult all of the accomplishments of a culture or civilization or a value system foreign to their political agenda of brainwashing you into being transgender so they can sterilize you and ensure you have no children and then control every aspect of your life. But this is clip number 25 here. See it right there. Try to type it in. It does not suggest Donald Trump. And even if you Truman comes up first. Teddy, we're just not going to put Trump's name in the search result. And I saw tons of people. I didn't check it myself because I saw so many people I trust rechecked and rechecked and rechecked. Same exact results. And so, if Google's doing it, then does that mean that Amazon is doing it? And if Amazon is doing it, does that mean that Meta is doing it? And if Meta is doing it, that means Instagram is doing it. And if they're doing it, does that mean Snapchat is doing it? If Google owns YouTube, that means YouTube is doing it. Oh, so 90% of the information consumed by the world is totally controlled by the deep state? It's something we've been talking about here on InfoWars for 30 years. I've certainly been talking about it the last 1 year that I've been here. We all know that this is a war for your mind. And whenever there have been developments or innovations, whenever there's been progress toward a liberation from the tyranny of any conglomerated power, any deep state, those technologies, tools, methods, developments, they always end up hijacked, similar to how the left has hijacked our language itself by changing the meaning of words. Vaccine, racism, misogynist, sexism, anti-Semitism. They change the meaning of all these words from what they actually mean to something they can just apply to anyone at any time if it's politically convenient for them to do so. But we saw with the development of the nuclear bomb, on one end, it ended World War II, but then it kind of put the world perpetually under threat of nuclear annihilation ever since then. So was it a good thing or was it a bad thing? With the development of the internet through DARPANET, made by the government, it's amazing because it opened up the floodgates to the internet and all this development and the dot-com boom and just amazing social networks and technology, but then it was hijacked by the deep state to manipulate the psychology of the masses and weaponized against us. And there's countless examples of these developments or changes that have at first been liberating and good and meaningful and amazing, then they get hijacked by corrupt entities and used against. It's like Satan taking the creations of God and then just like malforming them, inverting them, and then abusing them back onto the medium. And that's one of my concerns about Bitcoin. I am somebody who believes in cryptocurrency. I believe in Bitcoin. I think it's great that it's capped how many Bitcoins will be developed. I think decentralized banking blockchain technology is an amazing way to maintain anonymity and establish basically perfection in terms of the authenticity of all transactions and avoiding fraud. And this technology is so amazing, but then when you look at the history of it, it's so cloaked in mystery. Who this Satoshi Nakamoto was? Was it Elon Musk? Was it someone else? Was it a group of people working for the CIA? And part of the thing, one of the things that's most alarming to me about it is how this technology's developed, and then there's a proof of concept with Bitcoin where it proves that it works. I mean, enough people adopted it. There was this critical mass that was reached where enough people were using Bitcoin for internet transactions that it proved that the technology worked, kind of like a beta test. And as soon as this decentralized blockchain technology is proven to have worked after being anonymously made public, then all of a sudden you hear about concepts from the International Monetary Fund of central bank digital currencies and cashless societies that Alex Jones has been barking about since at least 2001, even before that. Cops in black ski masks, cashless societies. That's a rant that he did in early 2001, if my memory serves. And you're like, wait a minute. Was Bitcoin designed by the deep state as a test case for central bank digital currencies, which would be able to monitor and control? Because you can invert it. Everything good about Bitcoin, you can invert the other way around to apply for opposite purposes. And I'm not saying Bitcoin's bad or Bitcoin users are bad at all. I advocate for something other than this fiat system that we have. Obviously, Bitcoin is much more convenient than physically holding a gold bar, especially if you want to have a transaction with somebody overseas. I mean, the gold would be great, I guess, in the case of an apocalypse where there is no internet or power, but Bitcoin makes sense as a plan B. But what if the technology behind Bitcoin was just exploiting and using freedom-loving, libertarian-minded, technically savvy people to prove that a central bank digital currency immediately adopted at a massive scale would actually work? And then you have total economic tyranny. So they have cultural tyranny via Hollywood and Disney and all these institutions, like the Olympics, like what we saw. And then you have psychological tyranny. So cultural and then psychological tyranny through Project Mockingbird and in the mainstream media infiltration from the deep state. And then once you have cultural and psychological tyranny, then you establish economic tyranny. They've already got the military tyranny, basically. It's just this sheathed sword on the domestic population as of now. But once you have people economically strapped and all of their communications are monitored and all of the information they consume is controlled and their culture is controlled and their values are controlled and their psychology is controlled, then you have a situation in which billions of people could be enslaved and not even know it. But I want to show you these clips because Donald Trump spoke at the Bitcoin conference in Nashville, Tennessee. I couldn't make it this year. I wanted to go. I had a friend that could hook me up with some tickets, but just too much going on here at the InfoWar. And I'm not criticizing Trump for being supportive of Bitcoin, and I think he's got the best intentions, and I don't even think that he's even wrong necessarily. I'm just very concerned about where this technology comes from and how it can be used and weaponized by the deep state to accomplish the opposite of the intention of Bitcoin as it is discussed today. Let's run clip number 48.
Final part of my plan today, I am announcing that if I am elected, it will be the policy of my administration, United States of America, to keep 100% of all the Bitcoin the U.S. government currently holds or acquires into the future. We'll keep 100%. I hope you do well, please. This will serve, in effect, as the core of the strategic national Bitcoin stockpile.
Let's play 49, too. This is RFK Jr. at the same conference, I believe, making a similar claim. And you got Donald Trump, who is the antithesis of the deep state. He's the populist president. He's the America First guy. He's coming out to many men when he's walking out, which is about basically getting revenge for all those who tried to kill you and want to kill you. I mean, this is somebody who I believe is going to shatter the deep state into 1,000 pieces and allow and scatter it to the wind. But RFK Jr., in my opinion, is basically the CIA, because he hired a former CIA agent to manage his campaign and then married her into his family. So he's collecting donations for his campaign. He's paying his family with those donations. And then his family is former CIA, if there is such a thing. Once CIA, always CIA. And yet he's coming out and he's critical of the intelligence community because they murdered several of his close family members, all while he's hiring the CIA to run his campaign. I mean, it sounds like he's faking being against the deep state as an op for the deep state. And he's coming out here in 49 and talking about Bitcoin in a similar fashion, which raises some red flags for me.
I will sign another executive order directing the U.S. Treasury to purchase 550 Bitcoin daily until the U.S. has built a reserve of at least 4 million Bitcoins. And a position of dominance that no other country will be able to usurp. Our nation holds approximately 19% of global gold reserves. This policy will give us about the same proportion of total Bitcoin. The cascading impact from these actions will eventually move Bitcoin to a valuation of hundreds of trillions of dollars.
Well, I guess. I don't know what to tell you, folks. I'm not an economic expert. Don't have a degree in economics. I read Wealth of Nations. I've read Milton Friedman's books. I've read several economic books. Familiar with Keynesian economics and Austrian economics. I'm familiar with Ron Paul. I'm familiar with contemporary economic theory and common sense. And obviously our fractional reserve banking system is unsustainable and it's built on debt and dependent on debt, and the debt must expand and inflation will always be a problem and it just won't work forever. It'll collapse and it'll be a brutal Ponzi level collapse when it happens, painful for everyone. And I hope that Bitcoin is the answer or some cryptocurrency or this blockchain technology. But the future is clouded by the dark side of the force, and the dark side is definitely working within this system, this operation. And just like what happened with the Tor browser, the deep state came out with the Tor browser, which was supposed to be this private browser, making it impossible to track the behavior of any person from any device in terms of what they do on the internet. Turns out that the Tor browser was created secretly by the deep state, released, and then there were back doors that were installed all over it so they could trace all of your actions whenever they needed to, NSA and others. So they have a history of releasing things anonymously and publicly via the internet, advanced technology like this, whether it's a Tor browser or cryptocurrencies, and then putting unseen or unknown back doors in this technology. And I know the white paper is all public and stuff for Bitcoin, but they put back doors in this technology so that they can use it and weaponize it for the opposite of what it's supposed to do. Tor browser was supposed to keep your privacy great, and it was actually the vulnerability to your privacy. Bitcoin is supposed to liberate you economically, but the blockchain technology behind it is going to be weaponized by the International Monetary Fund for central bank digital currencies, which are going to control all of your transactions and allow you only portions of your own money to be spent on specific things. I mean, with this technology, they can say if you have $1,000 in your bank account that you're only allowed to spend 100 of it on fossil fuels this month. Even if you have $1,000, you can't spend it all on fossil fuels if you want. you're only allocated. That's the level of control that central bank digital currencies provide governments. That's why the CCP was one of the first governments to launch its own cryptocurrency and tie it and tether it to a social credit score so they can control the behavior, thoughts, beliefs of their entire population on a massive scale. And let me tell you something, folks. The 30,000, over 30,000 military-aged Chinese nationals that came across the border illegally into the United States did not come here because they escaped China. It is impossible to escape China. You want to talk about an open-air prison? That's any communist nation. Those people were sent here by the CCP as sleeper cells. All while our leaders, the Vice President of the United States, who may be the next president, God forbid, probably not, but God forbid, we should not underestimate this woman, celebrates in clip 32 the defunding of the police, gives support to bailing out criminals during the Summer of Love, the George Floyd protests, and then lies about it. But we have the receipts. We have all of the tweets proving that she supported bailing out criminals during these protests, who then later committed even more crimes. Now she's lying about it, backpedaling it, just like they've been backpedaling all week that she was ever the borders are. I'll show you some clips of that, too, as we go on. But watch here, clip 32. Kamala Harris gives support to defund the police movement.
Trying to look, part of this movement, and it's not just a moment, it's a movement, standing on the shoulders of the movements before. Part of this has to be about changing the system, rehauling the system, upending the system. And so that piece of it, you're right. Under this attorney general, I have no hope for it being implemented. But God willing, he will be out of that office shortly. And then we need to have a requirement that that office do the right thing going forward.
So then if you're for overhauling, where do you stand on defund the police?
Look, right. So here's the thing. Defund the police. The issue behind it is that we need to reimagine how we are creating safety. And when you have many cities that have one third of their entire city budget focused on policing, we know that is not the smart way and the best way or the right way to achieve safety. For too long, the status quo thinking has been you get more safety by putting more cops on the street. Well, that's wrong. Because, by the way, if you want to look at upper middle class suburban neighborhoods, they don't have that patrol car. They don't have those police walking those streets. But what they do have, they have well-funded schools. What they do have is home ownership, high home ownership rates. What they do have are thriving small businesses. What they do have is access to public health and mental health services. So this whole movement is about rightly saying, we need to take a look at these budgets and figure out whether it reflects the right priorities.
That's Kamala Harris for you. Defunding the police, opening the border for invasion, and allowing the burning of Troy. So many Trojan horses. And even the left is skeptical. We showed you the clip last week of AOC saying that there was a schism within the Democratic Party as to whether or not Kamala Harris should even be the candidate. And we've seen all these endorsements come out this week, even from the Obamas. There was a phone call that was recorded, and they endorsed her finally after some reluctance, and the Clintons endorsed her as well. But just because there's an endorsement doesn't mean that there isn't a schism. And keep in mind, folks, that the Democrats were universally behind Joe Biden until they weren't. And we hear this CNN roundtable in clip 31 dissing Kamala Harris as an expression of some of the conflicting sentiments within the Democratic Party and the leftist deep state.
Interesting news. Recent focus groups conducted by the super PAC Republican voters against Trump found that swing voters don't like Harris. And focus groups conducted by the Democratic National Committee also found Harris rubbed some people the wrong way. So, Jonah, how big a drag is Kamala Harris on the ticket?
I think she's a pretty big drag. I think she was arguably Biden's worst political decision of his presidency to pick her in the first place. And one of the special reasons that she's a drag is Biden's age concerns people. They worry that he can't fill a term. They worry that he's not up to the job. And so the vice president matters more than they normally do. I generally think going into the future that Democrats really should not nominate or front people who come from decidedly all blue states, unless they're like once in a generation talents like Barack Obama, because Kamala Harris does not know how to talk to the center or to the right. She only really knows how to sort of speak the language of the base of the party. And that's 34% of the
electorate. Let me pick up on that, because it's not just focus groups that are down on Harris right now. In a recent poll, national poll, 40% approved of the vice president's job performance, while 55% disapproved. And Kara, yeah, to Jonah's point, given the fact that people are so worried, voters on all political stripes are so worried about Biden's age and whether he's going to last for four more years, is it a problem when they're not very very satisfied or reassured by the person who would succeed him?
Doesn't really matter. She's not going to be replaced, and they don't like her. There's lots of reasons they don't like her, and I don't think the vice president matters as much as people think. I don't think they think about her unless...
With an 82-year-old
yes, I get
president,
that.
It might
I get that,
more.
But right now, I don't think that's the first thing they think about is her necessarily. I just don't... I think they've not liked her. She's had not a successful vice presidency, although I don't know what that means at all, because I don't think people thought of Mike Pence very much or Dan Quayle or anybody else. And so it doesn't matter because she's not going anywhere. He's not going to replace her. Think about that. Think about the earthquake that would cause. And so...
I think Joan is right, though, in the sense that she really does struggle with her communication skills. She really, really...
Well, it's so interesting you say that, because the vice president's staff...
By the way, just notice the production here. Nobody sits in a room like that to have a conversation. They do the same thing on The View. They do the same thing on The Five and Outnumbered on Fox. Like, who sits in a room like that to have a conversation? Like, oh, we're just like you folks, just sitting around in our suits in this fake room with this fake background and these fake plants and this fake coffee table with our cups full of coffee that we never drink. It's just bizarre. It's like a symbol or a metaphor for the entire establishment corporate media itself.
Media writes a story, Kamala Harris finds her voice, and usually it's on the abortion message. If she had a strong, consistent voice and was really finding a lot of success as vice president, we wouldn't read an article every
yes,
6
because no one ever writes about women and their voices. No one ever writes about women smiling or being appealed.
Well, you know, I kind of anticipated this.
I'm sorry,
people write about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and his voice.
Not that much. Come on. Oh, and it's a particularly annoying voice, by the way. But that's besides the point. It's precisely the point.
So her voice is an issue.
Look, she's got a problem with communicating. She sounds like a prosecutor, I would say. That's probably she sounds like what she was for years. I think the issue is she's also a woman. She's also a woman of color. And I'm not blaming it on that necessarily, but she has got a lot of inbuilt things.
Are you suggesting that women don't face
the plant. There it is.
Standard in politics?
What kind of plan is that? Go to InfoWarsStore.com. We don't sell fake plants. We sell real supplements, and they keep us on the war and the fight against the New World Order. Sunday Night Live with me for 2 hours. On the other side, keep your phones close by for calls.
In Dallas, Texas, 3 shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
Assassins need payrolls, schedules, times, orders. This was a military-style ambush from start to finish. It was a coup d'etat.
Seen his face when it hit, just his ear blew off.
Its most direct and tragic result was the reversal of President Kennedy's commitment to withdraw from Vietnam. A war is the biggest business in America, worth $80 billion a year.
The deep state is coming after me even harder, since I pledged to swiftly end the war in Ukraine. So I will have that settlement done within 24 hours.
This has been another public service announcement.
paid for by the Dilly Meme Team.
Please support us at InfoWarsStore.com. The new Bulletproof t-shirt's out. We need the support. It's an amazing shirt. Support InfoWars. We support Trump. Get the new Bulletproof President Trump shirt at InfoWarsStore.com. We'll be back.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.